I wake with sweet relief that it's not a work day. I only get to enjoy that feeling twice a week and I revel in it. I don't hate my job. I work in marketing and it pays the bills and means I can afford a couple of decent holidays a year. It'll do for now. Although I know I should probably have my eye on the next career horizon, but I haven't quite worked out what that might be yet. I get up, slowly, and only after I've had the most amazing lie-in. I toy with the idea of making something creative for brunch, but avocado on toast is about as creative as I ever get. For a reason that I can't pinpoint, today I fancy pancakes and maple syrup. But I'm not going to make them. Not when there's a great brunch spot down the road that will make them better than I can. But that involves getting dressed and heading out, and if I do that, it means I miss one of my favourite weekend mid-morning rituals, talking to my neighbour Joan over the fence, and I couldn't miss that. I couldn't do that to her. I live in a ground floor flat, which I've already sworn to myself I will never ever leave. If I do, it's because I've died, and they've had to take me out in a box. Nowhere will I get a ground floor two-bed flat with a garden at this price ever again. I know this because I have a right move alert set up, which I salivate over whenever it arrives in my inbox. I used to share my flat with Miranda, but when she moved out to live with her boyfriend Paul, I dug deep and decided to cover the cost of the entire rent myself, instead of looking for a one-bed somewhere else. I can afford it, just. Mainly because Joan next door owns both her building and mine and might not be quite up to date with current rental prices. She shrugs it off, saying that I and the never-there cabin crew girl from upstairs take such good care of our flats that she wouldn't drive us out with rent increases. I pull my dressing gown around me and put on my UGG boots. None of that attire is going to stop the crispness of the winter day penetrating my skin, but it's bright outside, which is something. Joan and I have a little weekend ritual. I text her when I'm awake, and she cranks up her Nespresso machine. 5 minutes later, we meet in our back gardens by the fence. She hands me one of her posh coffees, and I bring out a plate of supermarket biscuits. It's not really a fair trade, but Joan balked when I suggested that I might buy myself a proper coffee machine. I think she thought I was going to abandon our chats. So I conceded that I wouldn't, and she promised to keep me in a vibrant array of colourful coffee capsules every weekend. I can already smell the coffee as I open the back door, slip out and close it behind me to keep the warmth in. "What's this one today?" I call as I stand by the fence, resting my elbows on it and looking into her perfectly cultivated garden. Her back door is open and she can hear me while she's inside her kitchen, with the whoosh of the final cut being made by the machine. Even in the depths of winter, her garden looks lush and green, as if part of a National Trust garden had upped and brought itself straight to Wanstead. Joan appears on cue with a cup in each hand and a coffee leaflet in her teeth. She leans towards me, and I take the leaflet from her as well as the cup she offers. "I thought we'd try Firenze arpeggio today," she declares. I read the leaflet. Intense and creamy. Aren't they all? I sip. It tastes exactly the same as the one from last week. It's delicious and does exactly what I want it to do, hitting my taste buds with the caffeinated heat that I need in this cold weather. Joan nods and says, "Definitely 4 out of 5. She's lived here since she inherited the house from her mum about 30 years ago. I've never asked how old she is, but I've pieced together a gradual timeline from her stories and have decided she's probably in her 70s, at a push. Her husband died 20 years ago or so, but she's not lonely, as far as I can tell. She's out and about at all hours of the day, driving fiercely in her battered old Citroen Saxo, as if she's an 18-year-old boy high on life and the success of a freshly passed driving test. I used to think these coffee mornings were for her, but now I think they actually hold her up from her life. I'm sobered by this as I tuck into a chocolate digestive and offer the plate to her. "So, what's the latest news from the young, free and single?" she asks, dipping a digestive into her cup and leaving it there to soak for far too long. I watch, waiting for it to fall into her cup with a dissatisfying floop noise. Joan is no amateur and saves it at the final second. "Last night's date?" she prompts. "Not still in there, is he?" "No," I exclaim, horrified. "I don't sleep with men on the first date." "Any more," Joan points out. "Any more," I confirm sheepishly. "I didn't go." "We've talked about this," Joan chastises. "You only live once. How will you know if he's the one if you don't even go on a date with him?" "I didn't go," I say, nibbling another biscuit. This will be my brunch, I decide. "Because he stood me up. Or rather, he cancelled, again, and so that's it." "Are we swearing off men again?" I shake my head. "No. That way lies madness. But I'm swearing off him." "Good girl. On to the next."